Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 122, part 1, Old Things, New Things. Today is Friday, November 20th, 2009. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue, in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community, and at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join our online community. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or write a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, where you will find the show notes to the podcast. You can also email me, janina@pastorpaul.org. And in the show notes, you're going to find scripture links to those scriptures that Pastor Paul uses within his message. Be sure to join us every Friday and Sunday for part one and part two of Pastor Paul's weekly podcast. Have a great month of November, starting it off on All Saints Day, November 1st. These are the messages that you will hear this month on Pastor Paul's podcast. A love better than wine. Our instincts need purifying. Old things and new things. And old and new side by side. So there you have it. The month of November will prove to be the best yet. God bless you and have a great month.
Today's message is entitled, Old Things and New Things. Old Things and New Things. Friday we ministered on, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. This is saying the old things are passed away, and yet they are not passed away. The old things are become new. Now, when you were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, it was still you, but a new you forming in you. And you got kind of mixed up between the two sometimes. Sort of a kingdom takeover. The kingdom of God is within you. And when the kingdom of God moves within you and sets up rule and power and authority in you, over you, and you become one of the subjects of God, one of the slaves, love slaves of the Lord, God has to transform you. That is a job for God. That's a job for God. Are you hearing this? We have a job, God. Are you hearing this? And He can take care of that job, changing you. You have a brand new landlord now. But God turns all these things around that you were before if you were a gossip. Now you are the gossiper for the gospel. If you were a busybody, now you're busy spreading the word of the Lord. Sometimes you fall back into your busybody and you fall back into your gossip. But God convicts you and puts you on a road again, and you start to change. Maybe you had a lot of hate. Now you learn how to hate the devil. Maybe you were a pothead, a pot for the world. Now you are a vessel unto God. Praise the Lord. Maybe you were a John Barleycorn person, someone that liked to go out and booze it up. Maybe you're listening on the radio and you got one of them great big old red noses with all them big porous holes in it and drinking all them years. God's turned you around. You're just going to have that same great big old nose on your face there, but you're going to glorify God with it. And God has got a great bunch of characters. I think all of them are sitting here today. Well, it takes one to know one, doesn't it? But let's say that you were a person that was always doubting all the time. Now you learn how to doubt doubt. When doubt comes your way, you say, I doubt you. You are a spirit. You start to get into kingdom language and kingdom confessions. And then pridefulness. You start to give this to the Lord, and you start to be like that roaring lion tamed. Well, there is a roaring lion that goes to and fro, seeing whom he may devour, and there's also the Lion of Judah. You become that new lion, hallelujah. You still got a roar, but you got a roar for your witness, and you got a roar for your testimony, and you're roaring out and reading the word of the Lord, and you still have them same looks, and you still have them same job features, that you're energetic, but now you're energetic for the Lord. You start to take pride in your church. You're that proud lion for the Lord. God doesn't want a lion walking around like some kind of a little wimp. You understand? A little mouse lion? No, you're still the same lion. Do you ever wonder about yourself? I question that all the time. I say, there's so many people I would like to be like. I don't think I'm ever going to make it. And every time that I say that and I question it, God says, I haven't changed you. I've taken the part of you and I've taken all those personality traits and I've turned them around and I'm using them for my glory. All things are working together for good. All those perverted love thoughts you had, I've turned them around and I've given them direction. Do you mean you had perverted love thoughts? Of course. Are you hearing this? Do you mean that before you were saved you fantasized? Of course. But God has turned that all around and He's made it into a different type of love. Don't you understand? It's love your neighbor, and that takes a time of doing because you got to break down all the loves of self, and there's a whole lot of different selves, let me tell you. 1,001 faces, and 1,001 masks, and you got to take every one off. Oh, Lord, I promise this is the last one. I promise. And you take off number 999. You still got that many left. And it's a continuing on thing with the Lord, always taking off and always putting on. Say amen, somebody. But anyway, what's wrong with the world today? It's boring. That's what's wrong with it. You've always got to find something to fill the gap. One time I had a Jewish friend of mine. I met him, I suppose I was about 13 or 12 or 13 years old. He died when he was about 20 or 21. He had a sugar diabetes. But we would have so much fun just sitting together. And his father got a little bit jealous. He says, how come you guys can have so much fun just sitting together and talking? And we lay down on the grass at night and we'd look up at the stars and we'd talk about what we were going to do and what businesses we were going to be in and what airplanes we were going to fly and what cars we were going to drive and what victories we were going to have. But the point I'm trying to make here is that I just had a good time being with that person. No, if you find people, hallelujah, that you have a good time being with, don't take it lightly. That is of the Lord. Say amen, someone that you appreciate their company. Maybe they're a real quiet person. They don't say anything. It doesn't matter. You enjoy. And I think Christians are coming to that right now. They're beginning to enjoy one another. They're becoming a family unit, you know, fitly joined together, a church without any walls. But what's wrong with the world today? Yes, it is boring and it is dull, lonesome, and without love. And there's always a trying to fill the gap with some kind of a thing, and it doesn't feel, and you can run your legs off trying to look for fun, and you won't find it until you accept the kingdom of God within you and start to grow in that. Are you hearing this? How many are hearing it? A few of you are hearing it. I see a few hands up there. I know I'm hearing it because it slapped me right back in my face. But the world is void of all compassion. Well, I think it's time for a change, and I think it's time for the kingdom of God to take over and show people that to being a Christian, it's full of compassion, and it's full of love, and it's full of understanding, and it's full of working things out together. It's full of mercy, and it's full of grace, and it's full of love. But before that happens, there's got to come a kingdom work on the inside. Our old mechanical age here has produced a boring, and I'm talking about this world again, and a dull, and a spoiled, and a hurtful, and a hateful, and a jealous, and an uninteresting people. Now, once you're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're doing the works of the Lord, oh, what a nasty word that's turned out to be. Two ways to get rid of people: fire and yell work. There's always a mass exodus. Or third collection. That'll do it. Oh, once we took a trip across the United States. I mean, we went all the way down. And everybody was after me to take a trip. You never take any time off. Why don't you take some time off? I says, fine, give me 5 weeks off. So we took 5 weeks, and we drove all the way down the coast and all the way up the coast. You know something? We didn't see hardly anything, saving the trees and all that. I didn't see any of it. It's truth. And you know, even in our pictures, when we show our home movies, which are tremendously boring to everybody but us, all you can see is a zip of telephone poles and a zip of trees. I missed it all. I was sitting in the back of the camper. I wasn't saved. Didn't know the Lord. I was drunk all the way out there and all the way back. My word, a pastor? Before that I was saved, I was a lush. Were you always perfect? Come on now. Put your hand up if you're perfect. And right now, if you think that what I said there makes me very imperfect, you're imperfect. All I'm doing is bearing my soul to you that God can change people. And so I'm telling on myself. Well, it's one way to get rid of your guilt, ain't it? Think we should all do that. The Bible says, confess ye your faults one another that ye may be healed. Oh, I just got healed. Why don't we all do that all the time? But I thought to myself, it's so boring out here. I didn't know Jesus. And every town was the same. McDonald's. Every town had a McDonald's. Every one of them. Then they have the other one, the home of the Whoppers? And Colonel Sanders with a little bucket going around, you know, oh man, huh? And then we take the route that went through town, and they had the X-rated filthy movies, and the bars, stinking hell holes of darkness. Then you go by a store, Sears, with a whole bunch of dummies standing in the window. But it was all the same. Big Boys and Arthur Treachers, and people are bored. Isn't it boring? See, it's got to be the kingdom within. I don't care if you have 4 or 5 lovely children like I did. It will not fill the void. You can only look at that kid so long and you're going to get bored. Then you're going to feel guilty because you got bored with him. Then you're going to feel guiltier because you lock him up in a closet or something like that. Oh, now I'm going to catch it. I'll get letters. Child brutality! But these are the thoughts that go on because people are bored. And they get bored with their children, and they get bored with their job, and their wife, and their husband, and all of their relatives that come up to their cabin and just waste them every weekend. And how many are hearing this message today? Boredom has caused X-rated movies and suicides and divorces, porno, prostitutes, homos, and women's rights. Well, what have the women gained? Nothing. Not one single solitary thing. They have given the men more rights. We don't have to marry you guys. We'll just move in with you. We'll wear the pants. And the guys, they just sort of laugh like little boys. Okay. How many are hearing this? But the wives are bored with the husbands, trading them in for disco daddies with these tight leather pants on, Mickey Mouse glasses, and a whiskey-loving type person. The man is trading in for a younger woman, 4 kids, probably on the most wanted list of the FBI list. In the dirty basement, and I mean maggoty dirty. Say amen, somebody. And what is it all coming to? It's coming to that we got to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Because in this world without Jesus, you can become a sarcastic cynic. And be damned a little bit at a time. I remember in my life I was being damned a little bit at a time. Getting into more damnable things caused a damning in me. This and that and down and down and down. Or go mad. Being in the process of being saved. Now I've talked to people. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Be patient for another 20 years or so. I'm getting there, or become like a, what would you say, a cow, a moral cow, in plump comfortableness, and stand in the moral cow majority, chewing your own cud. Now, I said that, and I'm glad. Say amen, somebody. You can get so caught up in being so comfortable yourself, you don't see anybody else. And then I see the people seeking security so ardently. They become secure in their coffins before they die. Well, does that happen to young people? Young people can get so consumed with the house and the car and the kid, and the drapes, and the boat, and the lake, and the nets, and the fishing, and the competition. How many are hearing this? All they do is make themselves more miserable because they've left something out. The kingdom of God. And without the kingdom of God, there is no life. It's just a continual seeking after something that doesn't work. How many are going to say amen to that one? But anyway, they seek this security so ardently that I believe they secure their coffin before they die. They're dead, but they haven't made the announcement yet. It is not public yet. Now, I thought if I was to go up and talk to someone and say, well, what kind of flowers would you like? I mean, they're into this things thing, see. Do you want your coffin open? And what kind of a music would you like to hear? Any special words that you'd like me to say over you? And they'd probably answer, what do you mean? They'd ask, what do you mean? Well, I say, well, your conversation is always when. When we get this paid for. When a baby comes. When I retire. When this happens. And when that. And when we pay off the furniture. And when the kids leave. And when I get vacation. And when I get a raise. And when we're making more. And they're a when person. I'll do it when. How many are into that bag? Waiting around, they're going to do something when something else happens, and they're not going to get anything done. Winners are already dead. Put-offs who live in the uncertain world of when. Have you run into someone like that? Maybe you're sitting inside of a when. Well, I'll do that when. Now, let's see. When can you do this? We even ask people. When do you suppose that you could do this? And we have to almost beg people to do things, even if you're paying them. When would you be able to come? You call up a plumber and you have to ask him, do you think that your sir, your honorship, that you'll be able to come? When will you be able to come? Well, I'm pretty busy right now. I don't know when I'll be able to make it. Can you give me a ballpark type thing? No, sometime this week. And everything is when now, and nobody cares about now. They're always skirting around the thing, and they're always saying when. Are you waiting for your happiness to happen when this happens or that happens? Oh, your happiness lies right in your own backyard. Say amen, somebody. And this is the kingdom of God within you that's going to give you your happiness. And happiness is right now, and it's not when. Now it's getting kind of quiet in here. I think there might be a few winners in here. We must preach. Preacher, are you listening to me on the radio? We must preach salvation and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We must leave being the disciples, the learners, and become the apostles, the ones sent. That means you have to go out into the world. That means you have to leave the seats and the pews and the jobs and whatever and the when this happens and when that happens and then this happens. And we skirt around the edges and get up right now and do the thing. And that's when we're going to have a joy, when someone calls and we break down them barriers and say, I'll be over in two shakes of a lamb's tail. Doesn't that sound good? Oh, I called up a guy last week and he says, I'll be right over. I almost fell on the floor. I was so shocked. Then I called up another woman. We're cutting through this 18-inch solid cement wall. And she says, oh, Pastor Paul, oh, yes, we want to help you so much. We just want to help you. Oh, this is so great. Oh, glory to God. Praise God. And I was shocked. I wasn't used to kingdom language. I will. I want to. And it shocked me. I said, you will? What an unbeliever people can make out of you. I mean, you really will? And I hung the phone up, and it was so good. About a half hour later, I called her up again. And she had the same thing for you. Oh, Pastor Paul, yes, bless your heart. We want to help you. Oh, yes, wonderful. Oh, we're going to do all we can to help. And I said the same thing. You do? But people can make unbelievers out of you. The winners. You don't have to ask people all the time, when do you think you can make it? Tell them. I'd like you to be here at 9 o'clock in the morning, if you please. Can you make it? No. Very good. I'll get someone else. Thank you. Why not shock the winners? Huh? Are there a few winners in here? Oh, God. Maybe I'm facing a whole audience of winners. And that's why it sometimes makes me want to tremble. Because a lot of ministry that comes out of here is directed at people. Well, what do you preach to anyway? Chairs? Dummies? Hey, if you can take this ministry, you can take anything. And I'll tell you one thing. It'll strengthen you up. It'll make you mad or it'll make you glad. One way or another, it'll get you up off. Okay? Say amen, somebody. I'm talking about a very, and let's now consider the very victorious living and the very social environment. And up until right now, we have centered upon the causes of evil within ourselves. And I think that's good. But I think also that we got to recognize that the fever is within. That's like a man flopping all over the bed, trying to find a cool spot. You know where the fever is? On the inside. I talked to a guy the other day, and he says, you know what, Pastor Paul? I am convinced that social change will cure all the human ills. I didn't say anything, and I just sort of chewed on that for a while, and I said, well, one side says refrain. The other side says cut loose, do your own thing, different strokes for different folks, and whatever your bag is, and whatever turns you on. And I says, furthermore, many brush aside the inner problems and focus on the outer. And then we blame our sin on society. The poor call the rich the money mongers. The filthy rich, the imperialists. The corrupt labor leaders while hanging on to a bag of nickels. Are you hearing this? And then the rich call the poor spineless. And they call them gutless. And they call them lazy. And they call them no accounts. And they call them no drive people. And they call them no ambition people while piling up their stocks and bonds. The poor become rich then, and when the rich become poor, what profit a man, it says in the Bible, to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What will it profit you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Think on that. Think on to back to the time that you were not born again. Think on to the time now when I go into a McDonald's, I got a song in my heart. It isn't boring anymore. It was boring, but God's changed the me on the inside. It's a new me on the inside. And I see the people in there, and I see the dedication in there, and I see the order in there, and I see all of their shrubs and all of their walks and everything so clean and so nice. See, I've changed, and I start to appreciate that these people have order. And I look at Arthur Treacher's and I say, hey, this Arthur's really on the ball. And I look at Sears and I say, praise God for Sears and Roebuck and even all the dummies that are in there to put these clothes on so I can pick out what I like. See, I've changed. And when I change, what I used to call dummies look pretty good to me. When I go into these places, I don't just see walls and plastic. I see people. I see an opportunity to minister to souls. Isn't that wonderful? I'm so glad that God has changed me. Aren't you glad that God has changed you? When you go in some place, you see it all different. I see things different now. I see them from a new vantage point, and I see them from a brand new perspective. Say amen, somebody. How many are hearing this? See, that's what it's talking about. That's what it's talking about. Changing the inner man. And that's what's got to happen. God knows there's some things that I need to change with. Are you all in here? How many in here need change in their lives? I know I need change in my lives. One thing I'm going to do when I leave here is lay down for about 2 hours. I'm tired. Woo! How many are hearing this today? So if you're till a tea.